Blog Talk Radio.
TM, which I know it's Gemini Moon, I am so sorry. In chat, I could not write you. Something is weird in chat, but I do see what you're writing. And everyone here, thank you for joining us today. I have a guest that is crazy wonderful. In fact, he surprised me. And that's pretty hard with what we all do. So if you don't know where you are and what you're listening to, you're at the Bonnie Albers on-air show, and I am the hostess, I'm sorry, Robert, with the mostess, Bonnie Albers. I have a guest who's a photographer, an author, and a radio host. So it just gets my juices flowing that I can interview someone who actually also understands the part that I portray when I'm interviewing a guest. So it should be interesting. We have a lot of them on the air, and I love when they're here. Before I actually bring him in, I want to just fill you in on what's going on, because I have a show tomorrow. And we have a hurricane in Florida. It is going to hit somewhere in Florida. They don't know yet, but we're all under warnings. So please say your prayers for all of us. And if the show does not go on tomorrow because I don't have internet, please understand I am going away for about 6 weeks. I'm going to be in the UK, and I will be back in October. Now, let me bring this guest on. He's an author, like I told you, of some fabulous books, and we're going to go into that once I put him in and or on. And he's also a photographer, which what drew me to him. And then he's a radio host. I mean, how crazy. He's got it all. So please, everyone, welcome to the show, Robert Sharp. Hi, Robert.
Good day, Bonnie. It is so good to be with you today.
I am so happy you're here. I told you today, I woke up this morning and I thought, where do I start with this gentleman? And I mean gentleman because that's what you come across and I know that you are. But before we start and actually talk about what you do, tell people who you are and what is your passion, Robert, because you've got so many interesting ones.
Excuse me, thank you. Well, first of all, before we start, I have to tell you, your opening song is my ringtone on my cell phone. And I thought,
Do you know what?
When you start?
Go ahead. That is amazing because I have to tell you this, Robert. I haven't played that. It came to me. I haven't played it for a long time because I play different things for different people who I feel. Mm-hmm. And I felt after looking at your title of your book, and talking to you, that this was the song for you. I don't play it always. So I am very honored that you told me that.
Well, I just think that it's, you know, it's one of those, you know, synchronicities that you pay attention to. And so, yeah, so that's great. Anyway, so.
And you are meant to be here, my friend.
Thank you. So as far as passions, you asked me about my passions. Well, you know my photography, nature photography. I used to, my only entree into photography was in college. I took one course in photography, gave it up for many years, and then probably since 2013, well, probably the last 10 years now, I guess, I really kind of leaned in on it, and mostly take nature pictures, you know, so I just... And, you know, that's a passion of mine. I love my radio show. In October will start my 14th year with the show. So, so it'll be just a long, you know, long time, you know, host like you.
Well, you and I set the same tone. I got to look, but I think I'm on my 14th year also. We've got such similar passions that I had to have you on here today. I am going to bring your two books up. I know you've written more. You're going to, and you have more photography books, but I have to sink my teeth with the audience into something that you sent me. But please tell everyone, I know I didn't get to say it, so go into your author also, Passion, and then please tell everyone how you actually got into the metaphysical realm. And that's interesting to me because you touch on it. But you don't say.
Yeah. Right. Well, I would say it started basically 30 years ago, a little over 30 years ago, when I met someone who was a very clairvoyant and just was, you know, hit things straight on, you know. And I had always been open, you know, to the metaphysical. But anyway, you know, during that time, it was from that time on, then it became a... you know, an interest. And actually, when I started the show 13 years ago, most of it was metaphysics, was, you know, psychics and intuitive people coming on and, you know, taking questions and, you know, just talking about each individual's journey. But then it got to be, you know, kind of regular to, you know, I mean, the same callers calling at the same time. And, you know, and I can understand, you know, an interest, but I wanted to do more than that, so then I kind of moved over a little bit more into the self-help, you know, area, you know, mm-hmm. personal development and that kind of thing. I did, for a long time, I did an environmental awareness. I actually have one coming up next month about, she's a veterinarian, and talking about a world without bees and what, you know, kind of what that looks like.
Oh, I would love that. Wait a minute. I love that. I don't like bees. They sting me. I hate it, and then got to go to the hospital. So you know what? If she tells you that there has to be bees, Robert, you tell her you met somebody who says no.
Yeah, I will let her know that there, you know, there
Thank
are
you.
People who would prefer not to have that. So,
that's right.
But anyway, you know, that's pretty much it. And then, you know, I've always been around people who've done readings, and I have done tarot myself, actually, usually for myself, but I've done that mm-hmm. for probably a good, you know, 25 plus years. So,
I love all of the things you're saying to me. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and then in the books, you know, I had my first book was Joy Potential, Where You Least Expect It, which was a kind of a semi-biographical, in a way, kind of story. Then the one after that was It's No Secret, Spirituality Bites. And then that one, I think we're going to talk about today, you know, some of the insights that I learned from guests. And then I'm sure you, too, you know, walk away thinking, boy, that was a new perspective for me to look at. And it's basically, just kind of what I learned and different actions people can take to, improve.
I'll tell you, I want to read in chat because I can't right now. My girl is not coming to chat, who usually talks. She might be in here, Brenda, but you know, I know this is off the subject, but people are coming in and saying they have followed you for a long time. So Beau, I am sure Robert Sharp will absolutely love that. And everyone in chat, I can't write you while I'm on the show. So I want you to know that I can read it. And I appreciate everything. And if you want to jump on and talk to Robert at the end and just talk about what he's talking about today, we would love that if we have any time. But I do want to recognize them because they are writing me about you, Robert. And that is really cool. I love that. Because, you know, for me, you're new. Go ahead if you're going to add anything, because I'm going to go right into your water lily. I'm going to go into something that you're probably not going to expect, but go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that was the one, also one of the things we share in common, too. Since our topics are so aligned, quite often, I'm sure people, like the one in today's chat, you know, listens to us both, you know, and that's kind of a nice thing to see, is kind of a connectedness in a way.
Absolutely. I have to tell you, and everyone listening, they all know, I have a panel that comes on. They're top of the top, and I love them. And I also, like Mark Richardson is coming tomorrow, and he's a psychic medium, and he's from the UK. I've known him forever, and he has his own radio show on Spreaker. So I love when I can have people that understand. And to me, there is so much in the world that we need to share and be for. I love when I have people that come to you, to come to me, to come to Mark, to come to Grant, because that's what the world is about. It's called diversity. And if you just only listen to one thing, how do you know what else is out there? So I love that you just said that. But I'm going to be a little sarcastic. Everyone listening, you better be at my show. No, I'm kidding. So you better, I love having and humor is a big part of my show too. But I've got to tell you, and I want to thank you profusely for sending me your work. What I was drawn to you in chat or in social media was your pictures. I had no clue that you were an author, and I had no clue you had a radio show. So when Spirit said to me, I did know you were metaphysical because I heard it through my guides, but they said, Bonnie, take a look at this. Look at his eye. This is not the eye of someone that isn't metaphysical. And I looked at your pictures and I looked at them and I said, I've got to talk to him. So for me, when I look at your pictures, and I'll let you talk in a minute, but for me, when I look at them, they scream out metaphysics. And I can see, it's so cool what you see. I look in your eye and I see what you're trying to portray to us, which is the coolest thing that's ever happened, really, when I looked at your pictures. And that's why I had to get a hold of you. Go ahead.
Well, I love that, because, what my hope is that I am kind of capturing the energy, and again, I've kind of, through, I mean, I've done, about to do a first wedding. I've done several types of, you know, photo geeks, so to speak. But my passion is just nature. I just go back to it and you know, and there are certain things, of course, in the neighborhood I take more often, you know, quite often, but they're different views, and it's just one of those things that I just think that if I can, you know, capture the energy of what it is, you know, that people can look
you
at
do.
That. And if anything, just smile, you know. That.
I did smile. In fact, I could probably smell most of your flowers. And if you did put a bee on, which you did, I start to, like, get clammy a little bit. But it is only because I know that bee is really helping the flowers. So I love your birds. I mean, it just is. You know, before I go into a gushing, you know, about your work, I do want to bring a few things in because we really only have an hour. So,
sure.
But you sent me a book, and the first book is for everybody out there. It's called Water Lilies. And you wrote something beautiful in here. What you don't know is the minute I see water lilies, I looked at what you said about them, and it's exactly what I say water lilies are. As above, so below. And you put that so perfectly. I don't know if you realize that. But in your book, you said, may you be like the water lily, transforming challenge into beauty. If you know my show and you know about me, that is what I constantly bring through. I believe that everyone needs to look at the perspective of let's make lemonade out of lemons. And I'm very, very I am a counselor also, so I work at that, and I work with people even in my readings with that. But you put, and I'm going to read it, and please, for everyone out there, don't think it's the first time I'm reading this, because I want you all to hear it if you don't have this. And it says, the reverence and admiration of water lilies is an ancient law. I never really knew that. So, Robert, for me, that is super cool. Go ahead. Because I could talk your ear off.
No, that's right. No, absolutely. But, you know, that when I, you know, kind of started really getting into photographing, you know, because there's some wonderful ones nearby, you know, I could walk by them. I had to walk by them every day on my daily walk, and I would always take a picture. I mean, they're the same water lilies, but it's like I can't walk by them without taking a photo, you know. And I mean, a lot of them, of course, don't post, but it's one of those that I guess it's kind of like giving reverence and thanks for at least being there.
Well, you know what I think as above, so below is? There are two cards that come in since you used to read, or you do read tarot, because so do I. The two cards that come to me are Aquarius, or the star card. She has the water, one foot on the water, one foot on the ground. And the other one is the Sagittarius card, which is temperance, which is as above, so below. So for me, when you say this, I look at it, and the minute I see this, I know that for me, as above, so below, is nature, beauty, heaven, and earth going together. And I love that you put this so eloquently, because your next, you know, is many cultures around the world view water lilies as a sacred symbol, a connection to the earth, even as a source of healing. The water lily embodies the essence of transformation. Its roots below the surface in murky, muddy water draws nourishment to bring forth on the surface beautiful, fragrant flower. To me, water lilies are mystical and magical. A perfect example would be the famous work of Claude Monet. So water lilies and lotus blossoms are a reminder that our trials and tribulations are food for the soul, making us more vibrant and beautiful. And you do mention in your book that we're going to go over, I'm not going to skip the joy book, but the one I sunk my teeth into. And I probably am not, I probably should have done the joy first, because I'm always about joy, but this title got me. So what you do mention that, and I love it in your book, that the trials and tribulations, you know, that you're looking at this flower, are food for the soul. And that's are crossroads. You bring up crossroads even in your first book, that we look and is the challenge. We have to decide which way we go, and that determines the outcome sometimes of what's going to happen. Doesn't mean it can't change, but it just means that that's the path you chose. So when you wrote that, what did you feel about that when you wrote it?
You talk about the joy potential or the it's no secret?
Well, I probably feel you combined a lot of your stuff and all of the work that you've done. I'm looking at, so you can pick whichever you want because we're going to talk about both of them.
Well, the thing, you know, with joy potential, you know, that one really gets into, you know, the idea of making choices, like you mentioned, you know, different possibilities will lead you down different paths and that kind of thing. And you know, what I wanted to get across in that particular one is that each and every day, you know, through the choices that you make, you know, you're pulling in kind of a different, you know, you're pulling in the reality that you want, you know, by your choices. So, you know, want different, you know, different choices kinds of things. But, you know, and in that one too, you'll notice it's kind of like really just the main character in the joy potential one against, you know, I mean, some kind of advisors or, you know, coworkers. But in that particular one, also the idea is that it comes from, you know, within you. I never give away the gender of the person. You know, it's kind of done in a first person. You know, I never give away the gender or name even of the character. And that was because I wanted the reader to insert themselves, you know, or, you know, or, you know, not have any preconceived. That was
so,
kind of tricky.
You know, when you do mention you in the back. So to me, when I did look at this book, and like I said, I skimmed this one, but I will get back. You know, I just got home yesterday, but the book that I totally devoured was this No Secret book. And I guess because that's what drew me, the word spirituality bites. Are you kidding? How could that not draw you in? And joy potential is the way I live. So I was shocked when I saw the title. I think I told you that. And I wanted to make sure that you and I were on the same page about it, and it was. You have the same sense of humor I do, and yet you play with words, so I love that. The joy potential, before we get off that, you do bring up that you had awakenings, that you learned how to find joy in things that might have happened to you early on that you needed to look at. And if you looked at your back cover, because like I said, I skimmed the book, but it mentions you as that, do you create and experience fear or joy? That's a crossroads that we all every day look at. And as a crossroads in life and not knowing which direction to go, I find myself taking a temporary job. Now, you said yourself. Are you looking at a character? Or were you actually looking at maybe a little bit of an autobiography?
Well, it's autobiographical in the sense that the main character's quest, you know, with the, I mean, you know, it was they had a podcast, you know, and you know there was a publisher named Sarah. Well, there is. There is a publicist, Sarah, that, you know, bless her heart, sends me wonderful people for guests. But so, I mean, in many ways, it was kind of me, but also kind of looking at it from a standpoint of kind of recognizing joy. You know what I mean? I mean, it was just a real weird, the idea for that whole book came in while I was on a walk, and, you know, and it was inspired daily, you know, to write. So that was truly one of those that was dictated, excuse me, in a way. But I wanted to put it, you know, truth.
At least you listened, right? At least you listened to your, at least you listened. Well, so, and I have to give you kudos for that. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that and that's true. You know, and it was funny because I'd basically follow the same pattern. I would walk every day, and then, you know, usually by the 1 mile mark, my mind would go to the book, to what to write next, and what the characters were going to do. And then by the time I got back to the office, I would just type them down, you know. And so that's kind of how it went. And on days when it was, like, too cold or too rainy not to walk, I would just sit at the computer like I would if I came back, and absolutely nothing. There was I truly had to walk in order to get. I mean, it was so odd. And, you know, I knew the ending of the book, but what was going to happen in between was just as much a surprise to me, you know, as I was walking as it was, you know. So anyway, it just kind of unfolded. It was a real cool experience.
I love that. Robert, you couldn't have explained what spirit does to begin with. First of all, if they have encouraged you to walk and downloaded books, there's a reason. And we might not know it at the time, as you know, but like you said, when you got to your desk, you had to walk. You know, that's no different than people or authors that I've interviewed that said they have writer's block and sometimes they had to put the book down. You really didn't have writer's block. You just had to have some movement on earth, meaning that your feet were walking on the ground, looking at nature to be able to tap in to what you needed to. And that proves to me, like, you know, for me, looking at you and looking at your book and looking at everything you do, it all ties in. Your photography, you writing the book while you were out in nature. And I feel like I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in reality. So to me, I see that so clearly. And I'm glad that you said it, because there are some people who want to write. They can't figure out how to do it. But usually if you listen, somewhere in your inner self, you're going to hear what's going to promote you to write that book, short story, or whatever. So I love that you did that, Robert. Now you got to stick it over
to me
because I've had a book for a long time that I haven't done. But go ahead.
Well, you know, the one thing, too, I noticed is that the times when there were blocks, because there were, like you mentioned, but
yeah.
What end up happening is there would be some kind of occurrence during the day, something happening that would then kind of unblock, you know. So I was kind of like, I recognized that, you know, part of what I'm going to write hasn't happened yet, so I need to let it happen so I can write about it. So anyway.
That is super cool. Super cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go into the next book, but first, before I want to, because we're going to go real deep into this book, but can you please, because I'm super interested, so you used to do tarot, or do you still do tarot, and you used to do it for yourself, or you do it for other people? I'm not quite understanding a little bit, can you please tell everyone?
I still do, and as a matter of fact, mm-hmm. you know, a couple of publicists send card deck samples, so you know I have shows on about it. So yeah, I do like. As a matter of fact, I was even working on my own nature one. I've got pictures already uploaded, and you know, probably the book about 85% done. But I do like them. You know, because I think what happens is that it stimulates a something, you know, within. That it's like, okay, I need to pay attention to this, or yeah, this is kind of what's going on. But it's kind of, I guess, an awareness raiser in a way.
That's right. So do you read, and this is, by the way, I was looking to put out a deck too, which is so similar, but I couldn't get the pictures, but I got the words, but I couldn't get the pictures. And so I collaborated with someone who never came up with anything. So my deck and my book is still, you know, but I couldn't do everything. So, and I love being a radio host. I wanted to take it to television, which is why you'll see me on Instagram. But I've been doing it so long that I always dreamed I was going to be Ellen DeGeneres, only straight, which makes no difference. But I always thought I was going to be one of them for the metaphysical community. Hey, you can think and dream big. But, you know, but spirit and everything in life has other plans sometimes. So
The people who need to hear will hear. You know, that's just, you know,
that's right.
And it's one of those things. And you know, and we have the beauty of having them available to listen to in archives, which, you know, and in many cases it's either broadcast once and gone, you know, unless you tape it. But anyway,
yes.
It's certainly more long lasting.
Absolutely. You know, I always say, you know, if you're hearing it out there, I'm your girl. But that's always on the hand that's a vegetarian. So, you know, how do you work that? But with tarot, and this is what I want to get into right now. And so when I read tarot, and I'm wondering for you, I read it my own way. Like you were saying, things prompt you. I feel that they're tools to prompt you. So if people hand me the Three of Swords, I'm not going to read that Three of Swords the same way you might read it, or even the same way with the same person. Did you find that when you were reading tarot? Did you feel that you were prompt? It only prompts you to what you need to do, rather than you read the card for face value.
Yes, I agree. I agree, and that's, you know, and that's the and I think the beauty of seeing or feeling different things when, you know, you, quote, interpret the card, I think has a lot to do with, you know, if you're doing it for yourself, you know, kind of what your state of being is, and if you're doing it for someone else, you know, their state of being. So, I mean, and it can, you know, get the conversation started, you know, and sometimes, you know, it's for some people, for me, you know, any kind of help I can get from beyond to, you know, direct me, I'll take it, you know, however it comes. So
I love that. And even if in a form of a card, a horse, a zebra, we just do whatever, right? I'm one of those that I'm a zebra lover, so you've got to understand. And I used to be a llama lover, and I love it. I just see them, and I know what I'm prompted to say. But I've got to tell you that we're going to go into your book, because you're going to have to go with me with this, because this book, on vacation, you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, do I have to read? Yeah, well, I got to, because I've got him on the show, and I wanted you on the show before I left on my real vacation, which is, I went with my husband to the beach, by the way, and everybody that knows Apalachicola, it's beautiful, and you, as a photographer, would probably love to be up there. It's in the panhandle of Florida.
I bet.
So I'm going to the UK. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say it's been a long time. I've been to the panhandle of Florida just once. but it is a beautiful area.
You ought to go back. You need to go back with your lens eye, because you would see, they migrate every 7 years, 10 years, and we're there. And the dragonflies, there were billions of them coming at me on the deck. And I'm deathly afraid of bugs, so you know that, okay, just to put that out there. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. And my husband said, Bonnie, they won't hurt you. They'll move right past you. Stand still. I went nuts. Then when I realized that he was right, and they passed me billions of them, not like a couple hundred or you see a couple, because they were migrating, I just stood there in wonder. And for someone like you, it would probably be heaven, because I don't even know if you could have used your camera to do it, but I mean, it was just, the same thing with the butterflies out there. But anyway, let's do your book at all, because I could talk your ear off. So,
well, dragonflies are one of my favorite.
I guess maybe that's why I had to tell you.
Yeah.
So now we're on that subject and you can't get me off it now. So dragonflies remind me of, you're probably going to laugh. Whenever I see a dragonfly, I think of the movie Black Hawk Down. And the reason is dragonflies look like helicopters to me. I think helicopters were designed after the body of a dragonfly. Look at a helicopter, and then look at a dragonfly.
Yeah, I have taken pictures of them with a perspective where, I mean, it looks like they're ready to, you know, take off. I mean, you know, the blade, with the blades kind of thing. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. when you look at them straight on, then they're thin. But I look at them as kind of more, for me, more of a magical, more of a mystical kind of, I mean, to me, they're just, you know, I mean, they're a throwback to a time long, long ago. But, I mean, it's just the, I guess the energy, you know, the fast fluttering, the four, you know, wings, mm-hmm. And just the variety. Now, they have ugly faces. You know.
Well, I did see a human face in there once. I have to tell you, I saw a human face in one. I had a girlfriend who's metaphysical, and she said, my husband keeps coming back as a dragonfly. Well, you know me, I'm like, really? Okay. And so I said, well, that's nice, because, you know, I do believe, of course, reincarnation. I do believe we come back as all different things, but I'm thinking to myself, I'm thinking, you got to be kidding, a dragonfly? You know, so she came and sat out here, and one, she goes, it's going to, you know, my husband's going to come and see me. Sure enough. And you can't write this stuff up. It came and landed on the computer I was working in, she was working on, and I looked at it, and it was a human face. And I said, oh, my God. Amy, you need to tell your husband I can only do this so long. Gotta go. So to me, I love dragonflies. And when I say Black Hawk Down, it's only because of the shape of the – it is just the coolest thing, and everyone does feel they're magical. So you are in the perfect company of all the people who look at dragonflies. And that's why I had you talk about – well, I guess I knew you loved dragonflies because I wouldn't have brought it up. So well, next time we're going to see a book on dragonflies and helicopters. So anyway, from you. Anyway, so the book is called It's No Secret, Spirituality Bites. Well, I'm glad that you put the S small because, you know, spirituality is such a part of me. I'm thinking, spirituality bites, I'm going to bite him. But, you know, of course, I'm not violent. So I got in it, and I absolutely adored it. And this was on vacation, by the way. My husband said, you never read on vacation, Bonnie. This must really interest you. And I said, oh, yeah. The first chapter, I could have probably thought one way or the other that I'm going to put it down, but you hooked me on it after, and I'll give you the statement you hooked me on. So how did you feel, before we get into the book, how did you feel about writing this book?
Well, what led up to, you know, in the Spirituality Bites, B-I-T-E capitalized, was the acronym for my radio show, which is Bringing Inspiration to Earth. So, and it was the culmination of different things I had learned from guests. And, you know, the bigger picture, the higher picture of kind of what, you know, what goes on, and then different exercises at the, you know, end of each, I call them insights instead of chapters, but at the end of each insight or chapter, there's, you know, awareness, kind of insights from, you know, the topic and different actions that people can do, you know, to make their life better. So that was, I wanted something where it's like, I learned this, you know, hey, I learned this, you know, this is kind of what it means to me. These are things that you can do if you want, you know, to, you know, either eliminate the negative or accentuate the positive, you know, kind of thing. So anyway, just I think it's helpful to, you know, provide different ways of how can I apply what I just learned to my daily life. How is it useful?
I love that.
You know?
I love that, Robert. And you, even in your introduction, which really made me laugh, but you put, the world would be a better place if everyone stopped searching for their spiritual path and realized you're on it. You know how many times I tell people that? So I do love that. And everybody out there must know that, you know, I always say this is Earth School, but you're here to on a spiritual path. You are absolutely on this path to learn, to experience, and to sometimes, you know, show others. So what did you mean by that? Because I'm talking for you, and I know I shouldn't. What did you mean by that statement?
Well, you know, it to me, the idea is that, you know, if our existence, you know, our reason for kind of being here. You know, that I think, you know, what, you know, the ripples that we leave behind between our deeds, for our deeds, you know, that that's kind of like, to me, it's an idea of being eternal in the sense that, you know, someone was affected, you know, simply by this, you know, being here or doing something, or, you know, whatever. But I mean, just that you can have an effect on your world and how you, you know, how you want to make that of, you know, when you're gone, how, you know, how do you want to be remembered, so to speak, you know.
We say, I would look at it like this, Robert. I would look at it, it's probably the same perspective, but we're all on a spiritual journey. We all have different experiences, different lessons, and different places and beings we have to experience and find out about and make choices with. So I love that you said that we're all on, you know, that you're on your spiritual path. There'll be pitfalls in that spiritual path because in order to be here on earth, I mean, I know some people say this is hell on earth, but I always look at it, we're heaven everywhere, but is that we're you know, we wouldn't be here if we were perfect, which is absolutely probably true. So, but I always say I'm perfect, so why am I here? looking at that, I'm going to say that we are all here, I believe. We're all spiritual beings on our journey here. So when people say to me, and I don't know how you feel about it, but when people say, well, she's psychic, she's a medium, she's this and she's that, I always say, but so are you. It's kind of like Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan plays basketball. I love basketball. I could play it, but I'm no Michael Jordan. So this lifetime, you maybe came with the energy. Maybe you didn't come with as much enlightened energy as the next person, but you are enlightened. And so take your energy and start using it. The more you use it, the more enlightened you become. I feel that's why we're here anyway. So I love, you know, that you put that we're all on a spiritual journey. I believe everyone's spiritual, is whether you realize it or not. So in that book, your book is kind of saying that.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like it is what you make it, you know. And, you know, you're on a path. It's kind of like, you know, if you're, you know, in the path in the woods, you know. I mean, you're on it, so now what are you going to do? When you're going forward, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to turn?
Once there's bugs, I'm going to scream and run out. That's what I'm going to do. Anyway, so, you know, you wrote Forget the So-Called Experts. You know, everyone, please, I'm going to tell you how to get the book. Robert's going to tell you where to get the book. I can't give you every name of what chapter we're going into. I'm just going to hit some subjects that I feel are important for everyone to hear because it was really so cool for me to read. That it says, we teach best when we most need to learn. To give you a little perspective of me, Robert, I'm an RN, I'm a nurse, besides being a counselor and all kinds of crazy things. So for me, we used to say the nurses that were always our supervisors were nurses that couldn't do the nursing because we were the ones that could. And so when I look at that, it says that the people who are teaching – and look at psychiatrists. We used to say that nursing-wise, oh, my gosh, she's crazier than the patients. Well, the reason that they went into psychiatry, we found out a lot of them, were because they needed to get psychoanalyzed. What better way to do it than go through medical school and do a whole year of psychoanalysis for free? So we used to laugh about that. But I so love this statement. How do you feel about that statement?
Well, the one about you know, the experts.
We teach best.
The so-called experts.
Yeah, we teach best.
Yeah, that what we need.
What we most need to learn. I love that.
Yes, and you know, I mean, it's true. You know, what we need is going to draw our attention. You know, the idea is that, you know, wherever you choose to put your attention, you know, is going to be, you know, kind of what you will realize. And now the one, thanks for the advice, now on the side, is recognizing that, you know, there are people who will kind of profess, you know, to be experts, but ultimately it's whatever you decide. You know, it's your decisions, you know, and certainly it's nice, I think, to get different perspectives from people, you know, but ultimately, you know, I'll kind of make those decisions and choices and actions based on where I think I need to put my attention.
Well, how did that work for you? Now I'm going to go back to you because, you know, I believe we have crossroads in life, and that's kind of what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You go for advice and you go, it's you who ultimately, it's your life path, not anyone else's. And when
right.
you know, I have a theory somebody said to me, and it was really interesting, but I want to know how you have done that for yourself. How did that work for you?
Well, it's, you know, basically,
did you listen to the expert, or did you do what you wanted? And
well,
when you did what you wanted,
I always,
did it read? Did
you,
you
know,
end up in the
yeah,
where you needed
now,
to be?
Now, you know, all of my decisions, you know, whether expert guided or not, you know, ultimately my decisions, you know. So
yeah.
I do and have listened to people, and you know, and you're right, there are various forks in the road, you know, kind of going one way or the other, or being, and many times being guided, you know, it's like, you want to go down this path, but no, something's saying going down this one, you know, and,
yeah.
and it's really, I think the idea is to strengthen that inner intuition, you know, it's like, listen to me and, you know, then see what happens.
I love that, Robert. It's exactly where I wanted you to lead everyone. So if you, you know, Geppetto said it the best, let your intuition be your guide. So not always do we know. I think it was Geppetto, wasn't it? I know Pinocchio. I think it was Geppetto who said it, not or somebody in that group there. But I, you know, my big thing to put across is if you sharpen who you, you know, some people will question, well, who are you actually listening to? But if you're honest and you're true to yourself and you're a loving and really good person, because we're going to get into your next chapter, which really shocked me. I believe that if you find your guide, they won't steer you wrong. You can steer you wrong as yourself, because sometimes you don't listen or you don't hear right. And that's when, I don't know the word wrong, because I don't think there's ever a wrong way. I believe that from every challenge, like you were calling them challenges, and so do I, that when you see them, even if you take the wrong path, you're learning something, and then you jump back on the right one. How do you feel about that, Robert?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, and it's if the whole purpose is to have experiences of all kinds, then,
yeah.
you know, there's going to be some good ones, there's going to be some challenging ones, but nonetheless, you know, it's kind of like, that's why we're here, you know, and that once you take a particular path and you maybe see, you know, kind of an adverse something, I wouldn't do that again kind of situation, then you just recognize that that is kind of now a part of your total picture. The fact of, you know, this is not to be done again, you know, or, you know,
yeah.
ring the, you know, show me a flashing red light, please, you know, if I get close to
yeah.
that again. So I think that, you know, it's just an awareness and experience. It's kind of like if you're climbing up a mountain and you kind of go, you know, off path, all of a sudden you come across, you know, like a stream or something that wasn't in the plan. And it's like, so you just never know kind of where that's going to lead. Now, you know, maybe going the other path would lead you to a bear, you know, and you could, you know. So anyway, you know, the idea is, I know, but the idea is that, you know, it is kind of the reality folds to meet your, what you want to attract.
I love that. And here's what the end of that would be, because we've got to get to the next chapter, but the end of that would be where I never loved this, but I know that it, but you have to look at it that way. You have to have dark in order, you have to have darkness to know what light is. And you have to have light to understand that there is potential of dark. And I always look at the light. I don't like looking as dark. You'll find that out with your next chapter. But, you know, I know people go, Bonnie, you know you're aware of it. Why are you not looking at it? That's, you're leaving a whole part of you out. And so I have to say that when you just said that, where there's the reason why there's darkness is to show us the light. We wouldn't know what light was if we knew you didn't experience dark. So I love that. Moving into that, Robert, the next chapter was, because I hate the word, but I love the chapter, was Evil Exists. I am going to let you run with that chapter because there's things in there that I need to talk about, but I'm assuming that's a self awareness that you put in there.
Yes. The Evil Exists and We Met, that particular one?
Do you want me to refresh some of your memory, or do you want to? Go ahead. You go for it, because it's your book.
What happens is that I have come across guests who are kind of more, you know, are very good intuitive. I mean, are very intuitive. You know, their level of intuition, in connection is stronger than some. And then there are some who pretend, you know, that they're, you know, more tuned in. That came, you know, and I'm not one for evil and demons and, you know, I mean, I just,
yes, I'm not either.
I understand the energy of it, you know, that there's kind of, you know, I just look at it as a ball of energy, you know, I mean, that it's there, you know, and it inhabits some more or less, but this particular person, you know, came across as, you know, being all, you know, very connected. And what would happen is I would get these emails that were like death and destruction and, you know, and chaos. And I mean, every single email, you know, it was their kind of newsletter kind of thing, but it was just dark. I mean, it was just like, you know, and I tried
white
to,
light
you know,
it, Robert.
Break.
White light it.
Yeah. And I tried to, you know, break
white
the
light
connection,
it, baby.
You know. You know, and anyway, it was just one of those things where I felt that this person was just, you know, kind of a harbinger of dark, you know, and I just didn't really want any connection, you know, kind of, you know, not even ethereal kind of connection, let alone email and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, but and that was the one time that it was like, even though I know that the energy of darkness, evil or whatever, you know, that it exists, you know, and that, you know, there are ways, like you say, shine the light to make, you know, to, you know, brighten that up. But in some cases, you know, it's like you say, you kind of like bless them, you know, shine the light on them and just leave them, you know, because it's their choice, you know. I mean, truly they're living their, you know, their path. And, you know, maybe their whole purpose is to show us, you know, hey, you know, that is dark. I know that I am not dark, you know, I am. So
absolutely.
It kind of just highlights if you work in the light, you know, kind of like, yeah, I am bright, so to speak.
I love that you said that because there is ways, and I read Flower Therapy deck and the six other ones. So to me, I'm all about love and light. And when I read that, I thought, you know, Robert, when I met you, I know this chapter probably bothered you because this isn't something that I know you deal with, but how you actually dealt with it was perfect. And many people would love to know that because they are hit sometimes with energy that are not positive. I just say it's not positive energy. And so me, it's important that people hear that because not always do people know, and they're so caught up in it, they don't know what to do. And I love that you had a solution for them. I'm going to, unfortunately, move on to the next because I could spend another hour on this because you and I both agree with guests that have come like that. But The next, this, because I do want you to be able to promote where they can get this book in your show. The
sure.
next one is that I'm going to go real quickly is, which I absolutely loved, and I do want to talk about one, but this is about unanswered prayers. I'm going to touch on this really briefly, but I agree with you, totally agree with you. When and I have had guests that don't show up or they call me at the last minute, I always feel like it's a blessing, and I know you do at the end too, because for me, I took my own show, and I love promoting myself. So for me, that gave me an inkling of saying, hey, you know, for and only for me, because other people it's different, but that I actually enjoy myself and I can actually enjoy interacting without having to have anybody else interact with me. And it actually led me to having my own shows sometimes with just myself. When people don't show up, though, it is super rude. It is not nice. And I have had it recently that happened, and I have told them that. So go briefly into that for like a minute, and we're going to move to the one that I love is dreams. I love that. So, okay. What do you feel about guests that don't do that right thing?
Yeah, well, now there's the one section of Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. And you're right. One of the things that I think we can look at is that we all have our prayers, what we want in whatever form, but I mean, our desires, our requests from the universe, the important thing is, I think, is that what would be the best approach is to, that guide me to what is best for me, period. Just guide me to what's best for me, and I'm not going to put any judgment, just other than the fact that it's, it's good for me. So, you're right, sometimes, hindsight happens a lot. And, like you do, I'm sure, guests, like you said, shows that don't happen. And then I come to find out that it's like, that's a good thing, that I don't personally, align necessarily with, what they're saying or promoting. So,
Well, call me, Robert. I'll always go impromptu. If somebody doesn't show up, I can talk a blue streak, and I have a million subjects that I can do as well as interact with my audience. So to me, I looked at it as a blessing. It's a little bit scary right away because I'm thinking, here I promoted somebody, and I don't like doing that, but people do come to hear that person. But in the long run, I'm hoping, and everybody listening to me today knows that, hey, if it's me, great, it's me, and I love it. So that's my look on when that stuff happens. Other people, it's totally different from. So I that's why I wanted your perspective on it. Do you end up canceling the show, or do you end up taking it on your own?
Yeah, no. I used to really canceling. Used to kind of. The idea, and then then I realized virtually all of the listens are in the archives or in the other, places where it's distributed, So, the fact that it doesn't happen at a particular time isn't, as critical as it would be if you're doing regular broadcast radio. So, I've gotten to the point where it's like, okay, no, I just, many times, I usually have my programs about 3-month time frame, and sometimes, I get a pretty good number filled, but there are times where, like last week and this week, that nobody scheduled, over the last couple months that, anyway, so I ended up having, 2 weeks off. So, and I look at it like that. It's like, okay, I have an extra day, and it's not even that. It's an hour show, and I'm sure like you do your regular preparation for it, but other than that, it's like, I can do this anytime.
I love that, and I love your perspective on that. We have 1 minute left. I do want to, if you'll be okay to stay in the next 5 minutes, because we're way too over this, and I really do want to get into, I love dreams. I absolutely love them. And when I saw this, I wished it was in the beginning of the book and not at the end for me. But if you wrote it, and I understand why, but for me, I had to go through it sequentially. But I want you to explain dreams, because to me, they're the windows to your soul sleeping. Well, your eyes are your windows to your soul, but dreams can actually bring out prophetic. My daughter dreams prophetically, and you mentioned a prophetic dream. So I love dreams, and you say you love them, so I know you do too, but can you go through that chapter real quick with everyone? And I'm sorry, I'm going to keep you over a few minutes.
Oh, no, that's fine. I appreciate that. That's fine. No, with the dreams, the one that I mentioned, first of all, I've always liked dreams. When I was a child, I would have flying dreams all the time. I would just put my hands out, flap away, and then I would be flying. In my youth, you know, I would have a reoccurring dream where I would go to a field of yellow flowers. I mean, it was just like a huge field, and I would meet, you know, different people, entities, whatever, there.
I love that.
As obviously, you know, I needed a little escape, but other than that, but I mean, it was to the point that it actually plays a major part in the Joy Potential book. So.
I love that.
Play a big part of the book. Mm-hmm.
I do love that, and I wish I could spend more time in it. I do want you to know that yellow is my favorite color, so when you fell in that, or you landed in that yellow field of flowers, to me that's just confirmation that this is a great connection. Before we end the show, because I have to, I don't want to, but I have to, I do want you to tell everybody, we are doing the book, No Secret, Spirituality Bite. It's No Secret, Spirituality Bites. I did not know until I talked to you that your radio show was called that. So when I saw it, I'm like, oh, I have to read this, because if he's telling me that bites, I'm going to have to tell him something. So what's funny is I had a laugh. And the other Joy Potential, where you'd least expect it. Please tell everyone where they can actually purchase them, should they want to read them, and your Water Lilies table book. This is sitting on my table in the living room because it is so important to me and beautiful. Tell everyone how to get a hold of you and your books.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yes. Basically, the central location would be my website, biteradio.me, B-I-T-E, for bringing inspiration to earth, radio.me. And on that, I've got links to the show, and I've got links to the books, you know, kind of on the left side. I've just now added my calendar, so I do photo calendars every year, and I just got my 2024 allotment up there.
it's a
general spot.
I've got to see that. And everyone, if I can tell you how beautiful, I mean, they all that know that are with me today that know Robert and have followed him for a while, you already know. But I'm a new one. And here we've been on the same, you know, path for 15 years. How crazy. But I'm going to get your
it's like you don't know your next door neighbor.
Yeah, beautiful. I know. Isn't that funny? I love this connection, Robert. I hope that we stay connected. I feel we will. I want to thank you. It's an honor to have you on the show. And I could have talked to you for a few hours. So for everybody out there, before we end the show and everyone's still listening, please, if you're in Florida like I am, stay safe. Make sure that whatever they tell you on the television, please be prepared, because a lot of people weren't for the last hurricane, and it destroyed a lot. So please, everybody, if you they're already sending me notes to expect power outages. Robert, that this show went on before that is amazing and a blessing. I want to thank you. You are a wonderful, gentle, fabulous soul. I can feel that in you. And I want to thank you for sharing your time with us today.
Well, thank you, Bonnie, for having me. I just loved it. I mean, like you said, we could talk for hours. So, but we are connected now on social media, so I expect that our paths
Absolutely.
Will cross more often.
I hope so. And, Robert, this isn't the first time I'll have you on, and I appreciate you coming. And, hey, until next time, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.